The door behind them was pulled nearly to, and blocked from closing with a stone, but up the long tunnel came the dreadful echoes from far down in the depths of a bellowing and a trampling that made the ground beneath them tremble. Then the dwarves forgot their joy and their confident boasts of a moment before, and cowered down in fright. Smaug was still to be reckoned with. It does not do to leave a live dragon out of your calculations if you live near him. Dragons may not have much real use for all their wealth, but they know it to an ounce as a rule, especially after long possession, and Smaug was no exception. He had passed from an uneasy dream, in which a warrior, although altogether insignificant in size, but provided with a bitter sword and great courage, figured most unpleasantly, to a doze, and from a doze to wide waking. There was a breath of strange air in his cave. Could there be a draught from that little hole? He had never felt quite happy about it, though it was so small, and now he glared at it in suspicion, and wondered why he had never blocked it up. Of late, he had half fancied he had caught the dim echoes of a knocking sound from far above that came down through it to his lair. He stirred and stretched forth his neck to sniff. Then he missed the cup. Thieves! Fire! Murder! Such a thing had not happened since first he came to the mountain. His rage passes description. The sort of rage that is only seen when rich folk, that have more than they can enjoy, suddenly lose something that they have long had, but have never before used or wanted. His fire belched forth. The hall smoked. He shook the mountain roots. He thrust his head in vain at the little hole, and then, coiling his length together, roaring like thunder underground, he sped from his deep lair through its great door, out into the huge passages of the mountain palace, and up towards the front gate. To hunt the whole mountain till he had caught the thief and had torn and trampled him was his one thought. He issued from the gate. The waters rose in fierce whistling steam, and up he soared, blazing into the air, and settled on the mountain top in a spout of green and scarlet flame. The dwarves heard the awful rumour of his flight, and they crouched against the walls of the grassy terrace, cringing under boulders, hoping somehow to escape the frightful eyes of the hunting dragon. There they would have all been killed, if it had not been for Bilbo once again. "Quick! Quick!" he gasped. "The door! The tunnel! It's no good here!" Roused by these words, they were just about to creep inside the tunnel, when Bifer gave a cry.
"My cousins, Bumper and Bofer, we've forgotten them. They're down in the valley.
They'll be slain, and all our ponies too, and all our stores lost," moaned the others.
"We can do nothing."
"Nonsense," said Thorin, recovering his dignity.
"We cannot leave them. Get inside, Mr. Baggins and Balin, and you too, Feely and Keely. The dragon shan't have all of us. Now, you others, where are the ropes? Be quick."
Those were perhaps the worst moments they had been through yet. The horrible sounds of Smaug's anger were echoing in the stony hollows far above. At any moment he might come blazing down or fly whirling round and find them there, near the perilous cliff's edge, hauling madly on the ropes. Up came Bofer, and still all was safe. Up came Bomber, puffing and blowing while the ropes creaked, and still all was safe. Up came some tools and bundles of stores, and then danger was upon them. A whirring noise was heard. A red light touched the points of standing rocks. The dragon came.
This ends Disc 7.